You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Yeah, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, like the man said, hosting Right Side Radio, the biggest show across North Alabama afternoons. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, it's because we have an audience like you, full of right side ruffians, folks who do not sit idly by and just let the news happen. I've got folks out there that I know are determined to say not on my watch, and that's part of why I love this job. It's amazing. Hey, listen, I'm going to switch gears now. Let's go talk about that thing that we cannot let go away. All right, breaking news today is Secretary of State Antony Blinken is being grilled. And really, he's being lectured. You know, sometimes I get irritated when Democrats do this. I get a little irritated even when Republicans do it. It's amazing to me they call somebody up there. They want to hear from them, but really what they want is sound bites of them lecturing the person. But all that to say, oh boy, needed some lecturing, if you know what I mean. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is one of the reasons why the Afghanistan debacle was a debacle, in my opinion. And here's one of the things that just boggled my mind, is that he has chosen to literally blame the Trump administration. And I'm going to get back to that in a minute. But what's also so important is that we have to keep this in the headlines. We cannot let this storyline go away. They want so badly for this to go away. When's the last time you heard the Biden administration talk about Afghanistan? Other than getting subpoenaed or called to stand before Congress, you haven't. They're not. And I say it all the time. I mean, I'm watching right now. I'm looking here in the studio. I got the big screen going. There's Secretary of State Antony Blinken being grilled by Senator Rand Paul today. And he looks like he hates his job. I'm thinking, yeah, I guess you do, dude. And I'm wondering, when's someone going to hold them accountable? When is someone going to say something? But, Copper, let's do this. So here's a clip three, Copper. There's a former Intel analyst named Brett Selakovich, I believe, who actually served in Afghanistan. And he's saying the same thing that Afghanistan needs to stay in the headlines and resignations need to happen. Go ahead and play clip three, Copper.
And look, I want to thank you, Shannon, by the way, and the team for continuing your coverage on Afghanistan. Too many other outlets have started to forget about it and dropping it like it's yesterday's news, while every single day the humanitarian crisis worsens. We need to keep Afghanistan in the headlines and not forget the sacrifices that have been made over there and continue to this day. There are so many people and organizations downrange still working to get others out and fighting this fight every day while the administration turns their backs. They want this to go away so bad, but the crisis hasn't gotten better since U.S. forces left. It's only gotten worse. And I want to know when the resignations are going to start. When are the leaders like Blinken, who are involved with this botched withdrawal from the get-go, going to have the integrity to take responsibility for their actions? They owe it to the American people. And the administration continues to be so dishonest about what went on over there. And this, you know, these career policy wonks like Blinken, who haven't truly fought down in the trenches, they're leading the charge to embarrass America on the world stage every single day. And it's going to take decades for America's reputation to recover from this. Biden refuses to hold any members of the leadership team accountable for the widespread consequences of the Afghanistan withdrawal. And it's just a disgrace. Lives have been lost. More people are dying every day. And I believe, frankly, America is seeing firsthand the very real and disastrous consequences of having people like Blinken in power at the senior levels of the U.S. government who haven't fought on the battlefield, who haven't fought in the trenches with our allies and understand what that means from a policy level.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Now, listen, I will say this. Despite being a veteran myself, from a family of veterans who have fought in multiple wars in this last century, I will say this. I understand you don't have to have served in uniform. You don't have to have been in the trenches to understand your job if you're not a military leader, all right? He comes from the Secretary of State's office, from the Department of State, and granted, I get his job is different. But in this case, his job overlapped. And without a clue of what it means to consider the boots-on-the-ground perspectives, the Secretary of State was collaboratively working with the Biden administration overall to create a debacle. And then here's the other thing, too. Do you remember, by the way, we keep hearing these mixed messages. Afghanistan, do not let the story go away. Do you remember the other day, after the bombing that took 13 of our service members, that the Biden administration launched a drone strike that took out what they said was an ISIS-K, took out an ISIS-K bomber. Well, the stories have begun to come out that maybe not. Oh no, we were told. Oh, wait. Aren't you saying now we were told it was they had assessed it and it was real. It was a true attack. It was a righteous shoot. Okay, Secretary of State Blinken today admitted the U.S. doesn't actually know who they killed in the Kabul airstrike, and the review is still ongoing. Did you hear what I just said? You were told by the President of the United States that it was a righteous shoot, and now the Secretary of State. This is not the first time this has happened, by the way. The Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and now the Secretary of State have all had to get to a microphone at some point and contradict what the Commander-in-Chief has said to the public. And now he just said, he admitted here today, while being grilled by Rand Paul, that he does not know whether a person that was killed in the U.S. drone strike in Kabul was actually a member of ISIS or was an aid worker, and the Biden administration is still looking into the matter. Are you hearing this? So they did not have the bomb damage assessment when they made the announcement that they had a righteous kill. But we were told they did. Oh, it was ISIS-K. We could tell it was ISIS-K. ISIS-K, the enemy of the Taliban, right? The Taliban's helping us. No, it appears that it may very well have been an aid worker. But at the very least, Mr. President, when you announced that you had shot a terrorist, now we find out from your Secretary of State, actually, we don't know. We don't know. That's incredible to me. But what we're also seeing, though, is there's a fracturing of the lines. I've got an article right here that came from, this one also came from Fox. Greg Palcott reported, former Obama CIA director Michael Morell said on Sunday that President Biden's chaotic retreat from Afghanistan and subsequent Taliban takeover has absolutely inspired jihadists and emboldened terrorists across the globe. Oh, yeah. Okay, first of all, they're no longer protecting each other. There's no party affiliation. There's no rallying and circling the wagons here, all right? This is Obama's former acting CIA director, Michael Morell, who is saying that what has happened now under the Biden administration has literally created a situation where terrorists and the Taliban are emboldened. He says the Taliban will likely flow back into Afghanistan, making the region more dangerous. And the Taliban is not just saying we defeated the United States. They're saying we defeated NATO. We defeated the world's greatest military superpower. There's a celebration going on. And he says, following up, he says, I think not only will the jihadists be inspired, but a lot of them are going to come to Afghanistan to be a part of the celebration, to be a part of what is being referred to now as Jihadist Central. Folks, that's amazing to me. So we're shooting aid workers and calling it ISIS. In the meantime, the real ISIS and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are inspired. If you remember yesterday, I told you that Ayman al-Zawahiri, the leader of Al-Qaeda, he took over the leadership of Al-Qaeda when Osama bin Laden was killed. We thought he was dead. There was intelligence that indicated that last year he had been killed or died somehow. And yet suddenly, here in the wake of the Afghan debacle, Ayman al-Zawahiri has come to light again. A video came out released by the Taliban, by Al-Qaeda, on Saturday, on the eve or on the anniversary of the 9/11 bombings, celebrating the 9/11 with Ayman al-Zawahiri saying things in the video that clearly indicate that he has been alive for quite some time. Yeah. He was referencing things that have happened since the date that we thought he had died. Why would this happen now? I'll tell you why. It's because it goes to that same article I had a moment ago. They are emboldened. He does not feel like he has to hide in a cave. He's not sitting somewhere in a secret place anymore. He's in front of a camera because he knows the Biden administration won't do squat because they're too busy trying to point the fingers at each other. And he feels emboldened. And Al-Qaeda feels emboldened. That's where we are. That's where we are right now. Well, listen, so I've got this one more clip. It's a short one. Copper, let's go ahead and get clip 4 ready. So it's also the fracturing I told you about. Senator Menendez, Bob Menendez, Democrat from, I believe, Florida. Senator Menendez himself is irritated with the Biden administration and wants to know why the Secretary of Defense did not show up to testify in front of Congress this week. And he's holding the Biden administration in contempt and claims that he may have to subpoena the Secretary of Defense. Copper, go ahead and play clip four.
Secretary Austin declined our request to testify today. A full accounting of the U.S. response to this crisis is not complete without the Pentagon, especially when it comes to understanding the complete collapse of the U.S.-trained and funded Afghan military. His decision not to appear before the committee will affect my personal judgment on Department of Defense nominees. I expect the Secretary will avail himself to the committee in the near future, and if he does not, I may consider the use of committee subpoena power to compel him and others over the course of these last 20 years to testify.
There you go. There you go. So yet that is a ranking member of the majority party, the Democrats. That's Biden's party, Senator Menendez, who is saying right now that he is irritated that the Biden appointee Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin didn't bother showing up to talk about the Afghanistan withdrawal. And he said, we can't do these hearings without hearing from the Pentagon. And if he's not going to show up, then by God, we're going to subpoena him to be here. Folks, that's amazing. So when you've got the former Obama CIA director, and you've got Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat, and you've got all these things swirling, and Secretary of State Antony Blinken contradicting now the President of the United States, you have to wonder, who is in charge? Who is putting this together? Who is saying that this is the way to run a nation, much less run a war? Folks, I'm just telling you, there is something rotten up there in the White House. We're moving towards a short break. When I come back, I'm going to do a little more of that and then open the phone lines, too, at the bottom of the hour. You're going to want to be on the phone. I want to hear your thoughts. Get ready to call at the bottom of the hour, all right? 866-494-9866. Get your dialing fingers ready because I want to hear from you. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. Just plain right. We'll be right back with more Afghanistan in a minute. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Well, the phone's lit up. The phone's lit up. So I got a couple of callers that held on through the break right now, and I'm going to go ahead and take those. And Copper, I'll save those audio clips for when we get back from these phone calls. But let's do this. Let me go to Mark in Athens first on line one. Mark from Athens. Hey, Phil Williams here on Right Side. Mark, what's on your mind?
Senator Williams, thanks for taking my call. Let me first say thank you so much for your service to my family and my friends as a senator for the state, and also for your service to our country.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much.
And I'd like to take just 5 seconds to say thank you so much for doing what you're doing with this radio show and bringing it to WVNN and broadcasting it like you are, because this is the best show on the radio, morning, noon, and night. And about Afghanistan, in your history with the military, is it just baffling to you that these generals that are in charge of it all aren't true to their core or to their service group, you know, Air Force, Marines, whatever, Army, whatever, that they're not ashamed of what happened and want to step down or speak up in any way? I know they can't really speak up against the president. That's not something they can do.
Sure.
Stepping down, though. I'm just shocked that there's none that are stepping down. You know, I mean, you look at the Bush presidency, you look at the Clinton presidency, you look at the Obama presidency, you had generals stepping down because of policies and things that they couldn't agree with and couldn't fulfill.
Well, I speculate on some of this, Mark, and great question, by the way. And by the way, thank you for your kind words. But listen, as to your question on the generals, two thoughts on this. One is, you know, the military is supposed to be a merit-based society, basically. You have to earn the right to keep moving forward in your career. But I think that some of it has gotten so politicized. When you get to that level, I think there's so much institutional politics and so many guys that play politics with politicians too, because they have to get confirmed to their positions, that they go along to get along, if you know what I mean. But then on top of that, the resignations, I am shocked that Milley is still sitting in the seat right now. I'm surprised he didn't turn in his letter. But one of the things that I wonder about is, if he turns in his letter, it automatically makes the rest of the administration look bad, because it confirms that they've screwed up. And so I'm questioning whether or not there's been a backroom conversation where he said, I want out, and they say, you can't get out, we'll let you out later. I don't know. I'm speculating. But I can just see that as soon as one of them resigns, it means all of them screwed up, and that there's been discord in the Biden administration where they're trying to portray this as being a great plan. Mark, thank you so much for the call. I got 1 minute left. I got Kevin from Hartsell who's hung on patiently. Hey, Kevin, Phil Williams here from Right Side. Got about a minute, man. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, sir. I've quickly on there, I'm having a hard time with this, the deal about him blaming this on the Trump administration on there, yeah, about it being already planned and he had already made commitments to pull out by then. Biden came into office and everything, I know he's briefed when he comes in on what the current status is. So if this is something that his administration briefed him on and everything, and he thought that this was going to be a problem to have it done by then, why did they take action sooner?
No, it's exactly right, Kevin.
They had 8 months in order to be able to...
They did. Let me jump in for a run out of time, Kevin, and thanks for the call, by the way. So, yeah, the bottom line is this. The Biden administration has chosen to change everything else that had Trump's signature on it. There's no reason in the world they couldn't change this. Plus, the Biden administration refuses to acknowledge that what Trump had was a conditions-based withdrawal. And if the conditions weren't met, it never would have happened. And so all said and done, yeah, the Biden administration pointing the finger at Trump is ridiculous. It was theirs. They need to own it. They're the ones responsible. They screwed it up. It happened on their watch. And this whole idea that Trump was wrong is a farce. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, short break. Coming back, we're going to keep this thing going. Phone lines are open. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, and also live online at rightsideradio.org, so you can take us with you wherever you go, because wherever you is, there we is. Just go to rightsideradio.org and click Listen Live. Hey, got to tell you real quick about my friends over at Otter Creek Farm. Wow, Otter Creek Farm. Look at their website, ottercreekfarmstead.com, and you will quickly realize why it's such a great place that Donald Trump Jr. chose to come stay there and do some quail hunting not long ago. Oh yeah, that's right, right here in North Alabama. Didn't know that, did you? It's like an oasis in the midst of North Alabama. You can go and take a corporate retreat there. You can do a wedding venue there by the lake in the pavilion. You can sit on the next to the infinity pool, and while you're staying overnight there, have a glass of wine and watch the sun go down. You can hunt pheasant and quail and have their chefs cook you an amazing meal. Otter Creek Farm is a gift to the state of Alabama. You've got to check it out. I know these folks personally. I go out there all the time. Otter Creek Farm. Check out their website, ottercreekfarmstead.com. That's them, ottercreekfarmstead.com. All right, folks, listen, the phone lines are going to be open now for the last little bit of the show here. 866-494-9866. That's 866-494-9866. Afghanistan, vaccine mandates, what are you thinking? State of Alabama, how do you feel about our attorney general suing, being willing to sue? How do you feel about the fact that Facebook canceled your own governor today and took down her Facebook page because she dared to question President Biden? 866-494-9866. Call in, tell me what you're thinking. And if, by the way, if you disagree with me, call in and tell me, but just be prepared to defend it. So, folks, I'm gonna play you a clip. All right, I want to, Copper, we're going to go to the ones that are both labeled clip one, my bad. But I've got two of them. The first one, literally, I'm going to skip it. I'm going to go to the second one that I called clip one, Copper, so you tell me when you got that one ready. But listen, Representative Michael Waltz, who himself was a Green Beret with service in Afghanistan, wrote a good book, by the way, that I need to get a copy of, called Warrior Diplomat. But literally said how amazing it was that Blinken, the Biden administration overall would dare to blame Trump for the Afghan withdrawal. He said what I said a moment ago, which is that they've had a chance to tear down everything with the name Trump attached to it since he got into office. I mean, executive orders left and right for the sole purpose of removing Trump's name from anything and everything. Trump influence has been negated left and right. And yet, they want to blame Trump. Today, apparently, the thing that was said, this was yesterday, was by Secretary Blinken when he was being questioned by Congress, was that they inherited a date, but they did not inherit a plan. I got news, dude. You had 8 months. You had 8 months. You could have worked out something better than this. I can tell you right now, my neighbor's house cat could have come up with a better plan than what y'all... In fact, I would dare to say they didn't even implement a plan. In fact, Representative Waltz makes a great point that he does not hear them projecting a plan going forward. Go ahead and play that second one called Clip 1, Copper.
So disturbing was we didn't hear a plan for going forward. We didn't hear how are we going to get the remaining Americans out, which I think is much higher than 100. It's in the several hundreds. We didn't hear green card holders in the thousands, SIVs in the tens of thousands, a counterterrorism plan because we're rolling into a terrorist super state. And what we did hear was basically a shoulder shrug when asked, well, is this now, is the Taliban now the government of Afghanistan? And he replied with this kind of haphazard, well, they won a civil war. I guess they're the de facto government. And now we're seeing tens of millions of dollars of aid going in. And so essentially that's recognizing the Taliban and Al-Qaeda as this terrorist super state that now has an army and air force and soon to be tens of millions, if not billions, in American taxpayer dollars. It is just mind-blowingly incompetent and outrageous.
What?
It is mind-blowingly incompetent and outrageous. I cannot fathom for the life of me how they can create this alternate reality. On the war that we fought for so many years. Now, granted, I'm a firm believer that we should have already come home, all right? But I'm also a believer that we should have come home with honor. Those who went and served, like myself and so many others, and those who didn't return, or those who returned but yet they were broken and had healing to do, deserve better than this. The Afghan people deserve better than this. Our allies deserve better than this. I got news. We are, as a nation, better than this. Folks, do not let this story go away. If it fades from the public mindset, it's only because we let it. We've got to keep this story in the forefront. Because what we're looking at right now is a continued list of mistruths, lies, if you will, statements that are being made that are not accurate. For instance, Jen Psaki said the other day, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said that there's just under 100 Americans that were left in Afghanistan. Just under 100. It's okay. It's only under 100. Well, Jen, circle back on that if you would, please. Does that mean that they don't matter because there's not more than 100? I mean, when we had literally, the hostages being held in Iran back during the Carter administration, did it matter how many there were? What if there were 3? What if there were 300? Does it matter what the number is? They're Americans, and we left them behind. But on top of that, you've got the fact that the statements are contradictory. You had literally just, was it yesterday, Secretary Blinken said, no, they're not just under 100. He said there's at least 100 or more. And then you've got on top of that the fact that Representative Daryl Issa, he believes the number is more like 500. And then you've got the fact that we've got citizens of the United States, for a group that I have been somewhat involved with in terms of coordinating and helping and talking with, there are 6 nonprofit chartered planes ready to evacuate 143 Americans. 143 Americans. Oh, really? That's just under 100? That's only 100? No, it's 143 just on these planes alone. Have been grounded for over a week in Mazar-e Sharif. Mazar-e Sharif is one of the major cities in the north. By the way, when I infilled the country coming out of the special operations base at Uzbekistan, K2 Uzbekistan, that's where I went through. The MC-130 Talons, which is a special operations C-130 plane, dropped us off in Mazar-e Sharif at the airport, the same airport we're talking about now, and I went overland from there to Kunduz. and the six nonprofit charter planes are ready to evacuate 143 Americans, and they have been grounded really for more over 2 weeks, I think, by the time I'm reading the story to you, as the State Department itself put up roadblocks and the Taliban issued demands. I'm just telling you, folks, it is unbelievable what is happening. Phone lines are open, 866-494-9866, 866-494-9866. I've got multiple lines now that are filled with callers. So, Copper, you go ahead there for a second. I'll talk one more minute here. I just want you guys to know that as we're calling in, try to hit these topics. We've covered things. How do you feel about Governor Ivey being deleted? How do you feel about Afghanistan? How do you feel about the vaccine mandates? You know, how do you feel about just the fact that we get mixed messages constantly out of the Biden administration? So, Copper, let me see who's first here. I think we'll go to line four. Let's get Lee from Huntsville. Hey, Lee, Phil Williams here at Right Side. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Phil. Right hey, Side Lee. Ruffian.
I know it. How are you?
I'm good. I want a T-shirt that says that. I'm just putting that out there.
Thank you. Thank you. We will very soon.
On Afghanistan, I find it interesting because if this was a different administration, I think that this would be on the news 24/7, and that it would the pressure would be so huge to do something. But I think since the media as a whole, social media, regular media, are running cover for Biden, there's just not that pressure there, and they're allowed to basically leave people hanging, leave them in a lurch, and there's really no accountability.
No, totally agree, Lee. Totally agree. And
that's my thoughts on that. But
hey, thank you much. Lee, thanks for the call. I've got the phone lines filled up. They're stacked up like four deep right now. So, Lee, thank you for your call. I'm going to go to Clay on line five in Madison. Hey, Clay, Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil. I'm not an avid listener of talk radio, so I don't know everything you said, but I'm about as right as you can get. I was introduced to talk radio in 1990 to this guy called Rush Limbaugh that I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
So that's kind of with talk radio. And I don't know if there's much you can say I disagree with, Kay Ivey being banned, mandates and all that kind of stuff. But what I wanted to mention to you is that whatever the left is screaming about the loudest is usually what they're involved in. And I think only one national guy figured that out. Sean Hannity did 8 or 10 years ago. But that idea has kind of fallen by the wayside. You know, all you have to do to figure out what the Dems are doing is see what they're screaming about the loudest. You know, because that's what they're trying to move attention away from themselves onto somebody else.
Hey, great point, Clay. And listen, you stay in the audience, man. I like having somebody who's been a longtime conservative radio listener. And if you're dating back to the 90s with Rush, then you are definitely a Right Side ruffian, and we're glad to have you in the audience. That's Clay from Madison. Thanks for the call, Clay. Hey, listen, I'm going to keep moving here. I got the lines are stacked up. I know I have to take a break in about a minute here, but I do want to go ahead and, Copper, if you got it, then let's go ahead and get Mark from Huntsville on line one. Hey, Mark, Phil Williams from Right Side, what's on your mind?
Oh, man, I go back to Marlon Maddox on a call.
Wow.
Radio. But in any case.
You were dating yourself, brother.
The notion that the President Trump did not leave a plan, I've heard from sources that the Biden administration said whatever his plans were, do the opposite.
Well, comes it from is military obvious that they
people
did.
That were told whatever the Donald Trump's plans were, do the opposite.
Yeah, and what's amazing is they don't want anything to appear to give credit to the guy that they campaigned so hard against and lied about for 4 years. And so even if it means people dying and Americans being left behind, if as long as it's opposite of what Trump did, then they go for it. And I agree with you. And I would not be surprised, and I would love to hear somebody tell me that they had firsthand experience with being told that. Hey, Mark, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate you being on the line with us. Copper, you go ahead and let those others who are already holding on the line know to please hold on during the break, because I know we have to go to our short break. We're going to take that right now and come back. I got the phone lines are stacked up four deep right now, so we'll get as many of these as we can before we hit the top of the hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Phone lines are lit up. They are five deep right now, so I'm going to go straight back to the phones. Line three, Dorothy from Huntsville. Hey, Dorothy, Phil Williams from Right Side. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, it's too bad we got to fight like this for what's right. Have you heard get right or get left?
Yeah, that's great. That's a great line. I need to write that down and put on a T-shirt or something.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, I go way back like another caller. I mean, I'm 61. Like, I remember when I was in high school, people were making up little signs to vote for Carter, and had peanut heads and on the signs, you know. And I remember gas lines when my family moved here from California, and the gas wars and Nightline when it started, Reagan and Rush, you know. I go back
kind of
long. Conservative like that, but anyway, yeah, the drone strike you talked about, if you go to you can go to YouTube and look at New York Times, they've got the YouTube drone strike, and it's giving footage and stuff and things that weren't seen, and the guy that got hit, you know, he was doing stuff like delivering food for people, and yeah, he was a regular worker, a citizen of some sort there that got hit, and with all those people that got killed. And another thing about media, you know, we have a problem here, but also there's a Pakistan terrorist control media over there now. The Taliban's busting them about them being two-faced. They've been reporting on, you can see World Republic, they were talking about Saleh's home getting raided, and they got 18 gold bars, $16.5 million that belonged to him, and that's not true.
Did we lose her? Did we lose Dorothy just then? There she is. Hey, Dorothy, I'm sorry. I think we lost your signal there for a second. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just saying the Taliban and the Pakistan, they can't trust each other. The Pakistan media, they were lying and coming up with stuff. The Taliban saying that's not them. Some video footage was shown that Amirullah Saleh's home was raided, and they got $16.5 million of our U.S. money and 18 gold bars. And they're saying that's not true.
Well, I have no doubt. I mean, the Taliban's going to fight among themselves because they are actually several sects that call themselves the Taliban. They fall under one umbrella. Hey, Dorothy, thanks for the phone call, and thanks for holding on during the break. We appreciate you being in the audience, and thank you for being a conservative going way back. But I've got them stacked up here on the phone line, so let me get back to some other phone calls. Listen, Copper, let's go ahead and go to line four, Alan from Hartsville. Hey, Alan, Phil Williams from Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
This thing with what's going on in Afghanistan. Now, Mr. Carter negotiated for over a year with Iran and promised him a plane load of money to get those people out. Then Obama decided to send them a plane load of money to get, you know, to fulfill that promise.
Right.
Are we going to have to negotiate over 3 years to get these people out?
I have no idea
what it's going to cost.
I have no idea. And you know what's amazing is we have the full capability to go get them out right now. Whereas, you know, one of the things that happened during the Carter administration, the failed attempt at Desert One, which was not really a failure by the military guys on the ground, it was just a lack of coordination. It was a sort of an underplanned, overacted attempt at, that later became the part of the genesis for getting a special operations command. But all said and done, Desert One didn't work. But we have gone way past that point. Our capabilities now, we could insert teams right now into Afghanistan and get those people out at any given time, and they're choosing not to do it. And hey, great call, Alan. Thanks for. You're right. The Carter years were what they were, and there was so much negotiation on it was ridiculous. All right, folks. Hey, listen. Going to line two, Matthew from Decatur. Hey, Matthew. Phil Williams from Right Side. What's on your mind?
First time caller, long time listener.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
it. Just had a couple thoughts on Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So this would have been the Trump administration, and they would have even left two or three people. This would be all over every news station daily, and this would be shouted from the rooftops by Democrats and liberals.
Absolutely.
It just amazes me that I have family, I have friends that turn a blind eye to it and just still support Biden so staunchly when that administration is just so incompetent. Like, I don't understand how people...
We lose him. Matthew, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I think we got cut off there at the very end, but I think you said you just can't understand how people can still support him. And I totally agree with you. I mean, I look at this and I think, you know, I hope that we're not at the point where it's going to take another terrorist incident that stems from the actions in Afghanistan's withdrawal for people to wake up and see it. I hope we can begin to see it without that having to happen. But what they've done is they've set up a terrorist nation right now, and it does not bode well for the future. Hey, Matthew, thanks for the call. Thanks for hanging on so long and being there and being in the audience. You call in anytime, man. Hey, listen, I'm going to go down to Gary in Athens. Gary in Athens, Phil Williams on right side. What's on your mind, Gary? Did we lose Gary?
Hello?
Hey, Gary, Phil Williams from right side. What's on your mind, man?
This is Harry, not Gary.
I'm sorry. Harry, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm calling from the right side of Alabama.
Yes, sir.
And I've got to want you to comment on the hypocrisy of Twitter allowing the Taliban to have a Twitter feed when they've canceled our former president, Donald Trump.
Yeah, and I'll go one step further, Harry. We've also got the mullahs in Iran also have their Twitter feed where they can say death to America if they want to, and they do. Hey, folks, I know we got some others that hung on the line. Harry, thanks for the call. I'll get your name right next time, man. Harry from Athens, you're right. The Twitter and Facebook crowds, they have no clue how to be equitable. They don't want to call for equity all the time, and they don't get it right. Listen, you just let those other folks know on the line for me, Copper, that I wish I'd had time, but we were stacked up 5 and 6 deep and couldn't get to them. But I appreciate David and from Vine Mont and Jeff from Indiana, regular caller calling in. Listen, folks, it's been a great day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. In just a minute, you're going to have the great one, Mark Levin, coming on. It's big doings. And, folks, we'll be back here tomorrow with more of the same, talking about why we're conservatives and giving you the news in a way that you can use it. You hang in there. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care.